You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Oh.
Hey now.
Yay, hey now. Good morning, Christy Simone.
Good morning, Ed Alexander.
Welcome.
Welcome to you.
Welcome to the show. My friends, never ends.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. So much stuff to cover yesterday, from yesterday. We got more on the Tucson police stuff. I actually got some answers to my questions from an unexpected source. We'll get to that before. This has to do with the police thing. And there's a little bit more meat on that bone we got to cover before it's over.
Imagine that.
We got to talk about Dougie Ducey's...
Aye. Help me.
Announcement yesterday. What do you got? What are you opening up there, buddy?
A new set of head earbuds. My other one only got one ear.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm hearing you on my right side. You know what I mean? I
want
to be a little more balanced. Thank you.
Well, I like hearing this. Like when people get to hear the sounds of you opening up that blister pack there, or whatever they call those things.
Yeah, you like that stuff.
This is the reality of it. So here's some stuff we're going to cover. COVID. We're going to talk about the. I don't know if you've seen the video of the couple with the guy with the pink shirt with the AR-15 in St. Louis defending his house. Have you seen this one yet?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's amazing.
Nightly news.
So yeah. It's the people who were breaking into this private neighborhood. Because they wanted to demand the St. Louis mayor's resignation. So they go past this guy's house, and him and his wife, he comes out with an AR-15. His wife has a gun that looks like she's never held it in her life.
Right.
And they say, get the hell off our lawn. So we're going to talk about that. And, of course, how the media covered it is hilarious. And then we'll talk about media silent over the lefty mob's assault on a reporter in D.C. We'll get to that. We will get to, what's the other one I want to get to today? Oh, this is from Ellen Boofkin at townhall.com. And this is called 5 Black Children Murdered This Month That Black Lives Matter Will Never Mention. Remember we talked about selective outrage, especially in this town?
Yes, sir.
We're going to do some national selective outrage. So we'll do that. We're going to talk about... Everything's about... Remember what Joe and I have always said in this show? It's all about Election Day. All about Election Day.
You said it was going to be a wild 2020 anyhow because it was election year, but you didn't know we were going to do this, Jess.
The virus just took it to a whole other level of asinine.
Yep.
I mean, it's a whole. But I told you, right? I actually said it 4 years ago, right? The day after Trump got elected, I said, "Wait till we get to the last 6 months leading into his reelection bid. You're gonna. I can guarantee. I said this. You will be embarrassed in the way your politicos and the media will act.
Yep.
And they have come through
in media. Yep.
Like you would never believe. We're going to talk about how 9 Democrats had to defect from Nancy Pelosi to back a GOP motion to ensure a coronavirus vaccine development. We're going to talk about insanity at your colleges. We're going to do that today because, of course, they're reopening. And then we have Andy Biggs, and then we have Bob Thorpe, who has been on the show. He's a state legislator from Northern Arizona. He has an interesting tweet that's reported at Loretta's Arizona Daily Independent as part of this COVID stuff we'll talk about. And then I think we have people we need to talk to called guests today. Now, we were working on Newt Gingrich, and we had to move that around. He's trying to call from Italy. It sounds like such a jerk line, right? Yeah, so Newt Gingrich is attempting to call from Italy. And then we have author Julie Collazo on, and the book is called The Book of Rosie, and it has to do with something about the families at the border. So we thought it was germane to a place living in Tucson, Arizona. So we will talk about all of that. We got to get into Governor Ducey's presser yesterday. You know, they call them a presser. People are calling them, I call them now the press conference. That's when I knew when Doug started yesterday, And he started talking about how he had a wonderful conversation with Dr. Birx. We were screwed. Whenever Doug mentions his 96-year-old grandmother or Dr. Birx, we're screwed.
Yeah, well, we're screwed, all right.
And we're going to talk about, again,
you
some of...
You can't think for yourself anymore. Sorry, well, I can't do that for you.
Now, we did get a present today.
Mm.
This is from Bill and Betsy. Hold on, let's have some real... Opening it up. Opening. Mm-hmm. I also got a shirt. This is in my box. It was a Redwood shirt. Is this from Billy Buck?
Must be from Buckmaster. Yeah, he was up in the Redwoods.
Look at you. Thank you, Billy Buck.
Good for you.
Got a black t-shirt that says Red. I can wear that to my next riot down in Tucson. Oh, you're from the Redwoods, bro.
Yeah, man. Northern California.
Oh, my God.
Man.
We got more shirts. Oh, my God. Wake up and smell the freedom shirts.
Whoa.
From Bill and Betsy.
Look at that.
Sleeveless.
Yeah, well, that's you. You're totally sleeveless.
We'll
dude.
See. There's two
I
in here.
That.
Oh, no. We got matching ones.
All right.
Please give Ed sleeveless.
Not sleeveless. Oh, my gosh. It's the Eddie and the Cruisers t-shirt for Eddie. Oh, my gosh. There's going to be a rumble. I can feel a rumble coming on.
Wake up and...
Woo-hoo!
You got to play do a little Jets versus the Sharks before it's... at this. Wake up and smell the freedom shirts from Bill and Betsy. Bill
Excellent.
And Betsy,
thank you guys. Thank you both.
It's my t-shirt day. I got my wake up, smell the freedom, and Billy Buck got me a...
You got a wardrobe.
It is from
Billy Buck. Did you buy yourself one when you were on...
You mean like a pine top shirt?
You don't do that.
No.
Pine top hat.
The only time I buy anything... Well, first of all, buying hats for me is amazingly tough.
Yeah.
I have a head the size of a pumpkin.
Yeah.
So I found this. This is like one of my things. This is a hat on. Got it at Amazon, right?
Whoa.
It's got the American flag on it. Kind of.
Yes, it does.
Thing, right?
It's nice.
Blue. It's got the kind of the trucker's kind of hat look to it, right?
It is a trucker's hat, yep.
Well, look at that. You see?
A fisherman's hat.
Okay, everything... This rarely happens to me. I had to get it on Amazon. It's the extra, extra large hat. Okay. So and it's one of those things where you have the little tabs in the back.
The adjustable,
right?
One size fits most.
But literally, I have it all the way as small as you can get except for one little thing, right, on this hat. And when I first put it on, I was like,
look at you. He's so excited. Look at him.
I'm very excited.
I know.
So I do want to give you, I know you have it still up on the screen because I emailed Bonnie at the Police Foundation.
Yeah.
And what happened was we got...
she gave us a number.
They got some stuff that came in over the weekend. Because remember, our mail has to go to Singapore, then to Phoenix, and then to Florence, Arizona, and then it comes to Tucson again. So So I will tell you, there'll still be a... Actually, it's funny because I put a Facebook post yesterday, and then I had people who said they're still sending money. So right now, we are at... it's okay. Ed wants to do his... He loves his tote board. There it is. So right now, we're over 7,500 collected. For the 3 hours we did of the radiothon. And I bet before it's over, with the ones that people who sent me stuff, I bet we get to, I bet we push it to 8 before it's over.
That's crazy. Crazy good. And that goes half and half to the Southern Arizona Leaders Law Enforcement Foundation.
We.
And the Eric Height Foundation.
Correct.
There you go.
So I just wanted to, I'm blown away by you guys all the time. And remember, that radiothon was put together because me, Ed, and Doug Martin had lunch 7 days before. So the idea that we raise, I think we're going to do about $8,000 before this is over on something that we concocted a week out. I wasn't even supposed to be here that Monday. I was actually on vacation. And I wanted to stay and do the radiothon.
Yes.
And for $8,000, I'm blown away. I got a message from Noemi Height,
uh-huh.
from the Height Foundation, and it says, thank you so much, Chris. This donation will help us during times that we can't fundraise like we usually do.
Right. You can't have gala this or a march, you know, walks for that or anything. So, yeah.
You are correct, sir. So, anyway, we'll talk a little, we'll get a little bit into, let's do a little bit of Doug stuff, and then we're going to get into the Tucson police stuff again, because I can't believe a guy who's, who provided information that is helping us out, I can't, it's actually Steve K. It's like a miracle.
What a...
So he actually provides a translation, a little bit of the call from the grandma.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And... he actually provides the drug report on this guy. And we'll talk about that. So, one of Joe Higgins' favorite jazz artists, Stanley Clark.
Yep.
His birthday today. We got a couple of decent birthdays today. So, wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
The sweet... One of those guys' birthday today.
I love that guy.
Yeah, that guy. He's got hair up to here. Yeah.
Our boy Pat was posted up. You got to educate me. I don't know. I know most things, but not everything. Benny Mardones.
Yes.
Died at age 73.
Okay. Into the night. He belts it. We'll play Benny for you on the way out, okay?
I did an education on... So was he? He was a solo artist.
I don't know if he played in a band and broke out, as it were,
right?
Or he was just one of the record companies say, hey, we need a song, dude, sing this. So you remember this? Hold on a second.
Oh sure.
So was he part of a group? I don't know.
Okay.
But so he was, we're all getting up there. It stinks. I'm doing the birthdays, and they're all in their 70s. I'm going, jeez, it's killing me, man.
Looking at his Wikipedia page, it looked like he was a mostly solo artist.
Right.
So, all right, let's get to, guess where I was at when Doug Ducey said he was closing down gyms?
Oh, my gosh, where were you?
I was at the gym.
Were they wearing their masks?
Half the people while they're working out.
See, they're supposed to wear a mask. It's a stinking law, okay? It's a state mandate. Every business is supposed to wear a mask. And I went to choose, and three-quarters of them were wearing masks. But the other quarter's going, hey. And so they screwed it up for everybody else.
They didn't.
They did.
They didn't.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what here. So here's a couple of things. I just had questions, right?
I need this workout. It's too damn hot to do anything else.
I agree. So... sometimes I just put stuff on Facebook that, so the old guy remembers later.
Uh-huh.
It's okay. It's like my memory board,
Yeah, a little whiteboard up there.
So my first question I put up yesterday was, without any real data on where anyone actually contracts coronavirus, the governor closes down gyms.
Yep.
Who have been doing it right since reopen, and then gives... Now, this is the part...
Many of them have.
I don't know if this hit your news cycle, but I heard him say this yesterday. He gives permissions to city councils and county board of supervisors to give out special permits for events.
Yeah, right.
So what does that mean? So if so the next time there's a Black Lives Matters defund police protest / riot, they can give it an okay.
But if you want to have 4th of July, forget it.
But if you're running a gym.
Yeah.
So at my gym, they separated more than ever all the equipment.
Right.
Everyone is easily 6 feet away.
Right.
And they do require, people are wearing their mask when they come in most of the time, go to their what they're doing and do it. If they take their mask off. All right. So the idea that Doug Ducey decided to pick on the gyms on this one is stupid. It's stupid. There's no data. So, they keep saying, the contact tracing. Bullcrap. You're not doing any of that.
No, they're not.
Okay. So the idea that, we're going to go after the gyms. He closed down movie theaters, tubing.
Tubing again? That water will kill you, man. You can't have any
so
viruses
of course,
in
what
water.
Happens in the summer in Arizona? People like going down the Salt River, right? And there were a lot of people going down the Salt River.
Too much fun. Sorry, too much fun.
So I would say the only place that you wouldn't have social distancing really is when you take the bus up to the, when they drop your butt off at the top of the river.
Getting off, getting in.
But the idea of being on the river is horse crap.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's dumb.
So it's okay for the protests to happen, but you can't open a gym anymore for 30 days. Asinine. Oh, and the other thing too is when people are not healthy, they're more susceptible to pick up a virus anyway if they're not in a healthy condition. So the people who are trying to stay healthy, who are trying to shed pounds, who are trying to get their cardio up, now you shoot that down.
Yep. Thank you very much.
For 30 days.
I need that, people.
Okay. Now, here's the other thing about masks. Let's get to this. This is hilarious. My wife brought this up, and she's totally correct. She goes, you know, I notice when I go to the supermarket now,
yep.
the ones who are the real maskers, they're really into it, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a fashion statement now.
They don't care about the six-foot distance now. They're like passive aggressive, and because it's covering their face and you really don't know who they are, I feel like it brings out their passive aggressiveness even worse. So I had this one lady at Whole Foods. I'm picking up a pizza because pizza on my side of town is a little weak, but I've trained the nice people there how to make a pizza, and the number one rule is they're not allowed to cut it because I have to send it back to the oven half the time to actually get it like cooked. Okay. But it's okay. And literally, she's like right in my face. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, I have a mask. Go away. Like, the people who have masks now, who are really into the mask, feel like it protects them from everything. And what I love about, there's a great meme, and it's so true, right? They're showing the person who is a true virologist, right? And they're working in a lab with viruses.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wearing the hazmat suit with the total plastic enclosed helmet.
Okay.
Right? And it says, this is what virologists do when they're in the presence of a virus. Wearing your old handkerchief over your face is not doing anything. Okay? Then Doug Ducey, I swear to God, showed I told you in the first segment, we were in trouble once he said he was on a call with Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci.
He said Fauci too?
Yep. Once I heard that, I knew we were toast. Okay? Then, what did he say? Oh, he went to the University of Washington, IHMEA, International Health, Medical, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
These are one of these people that do models that screwed up most models. Of the models that they did on how many people were going to die. These are the people that forgot to do when they were modeling, like our doctor from St. Louis University said, Washington University in St. Louis, they didn't actually put in. They forgot to put in that there's people who are naturally resistant to COVID in the models. That's why they put in a zillion people dying. He actually quoted them. And he actually, but he, you know, it's funny. He goes, well, they haven't been right a lot of the time, but.
But we're going to use it anyway.
Right.
Stop it.
So he shows the model. It says, according, if we all mask up, then cases will go down. And I said, I can't believe you just used that. What the hell are you doing?
Somebody got to him. Who got to him?
There's so much stuff to cover on this right now.
Yeah.
He is. I think they think this is some sort of last gasp chance, right? That they think they're going to do something with the amount of cases here, and they're ignoring other factors that we have to talk about, and we'll talk about that at the next hour. But I think his big thing is he needs NAU, ASU, and U of A to open. Desperately.
Yeah, so?
He does not want them not to open. I feel like this is a last shot by him. Someone convinced him, if you do this, you'll get the cases down, and then you wouldn't have to, because there's so much money riding on those three universities.
Parents would send their kids here? Is that the deal? Come on.
It's something stupid like that.
No. They're going
to. When we come back, we're going to go through some other factors the governor seems to like not want to talk about. So, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, CBS Bloomberg coming up next. Wake up.
One of the leaders, Glenn Schrock of the Little River Band, the Australian Boys. Birthday today, 6:34 in your morning.
When are we getting to reminiscing?
I'm just kidding. We will. When this is slow dance, ladies' choice, you can do reminisce.
Thank you.
There you go.
Here's another question I put on Facebook yesterday. I want to ask Governor Ducey. Dear Governor Ducey, please provide the zip codes of all the new positive cases showing up at Tucson hospitals. Can you do that without...
zip code of the residents?
Yeah.
Of the people?
The people who are actually in Tucson hospitals, can you please share where they're from? I'd like to know that.
Why is that?
And the reason is that if you're gonna make decisions on crap, can you at least tell us if these people, because we keep hearing from the hospitals, these are a lot of people being shipped in from other parts of the state. So if Pima County isn't as bad as some other parts, right? And we're shipping in people from Yuma, Santa Cruz County, and maybe a couple of the nations out, the Native nations. Can you just at least tell us that? Instead of me, because the other thing is too, right? Is you don't, to me, when I hear about people who like at their business or something, someone tested positive for COVID, right? I feel like the problem here is that the real problem is that you have, first of all, morons showing up to work sick. Literally, if I was going to do a state PSA campaign, here it is. Hi, I'm Doug Ducey. Stop being a moron. Stop being a moron and going to work sick. How's that? I'll nail out 47% of coronavirus patients if we could actually have people not go to work sick. Have you people gotten this yet? Because every situation I hear is about, always has to do with the moron who showed up to work sick, right? Here's the other thing. So then we say, oh, the restaurants, right? So there was a restaurant in the foothills. There was a Dutch Bros, Minanito, whatever, and they closed down because they said they had employees that had COVID. Okay.
Okay.
Can
they
someone,
took care of it.
What's the rest of the story? Have you heard of anyone else getting sick off of that person from, right? Most likely the moron caught it from someone at home, right? Because they don't have to social distance when they're at home. So there's probably someone sick at home and then they showed up at work. Like, now the other part of it is too, that the press doesn't want to tell you, is the person symptomatic or not symptomatic? Because it seems like the situations where there's some sort of spread in COVID is the moron who showed up sick. So we don't get that either. So we don't get where these people are coming from, even though we know that they're coming from the border counties and probably some of the Native American nations that are having problems with us. Susceptible population, overweight, old, diabetic, a lot of problems. So we don't get to know that either. And this is, and it's kind of like, and so Doug, if you're gonna make these decisions that you say is protecting public health but ruining people's businesses and lives, then give us all the information. Here's the next question Chris has, request of Doug Ducey. Dear Governor Ducey, please provide what actually constitutes a COVID hospitalization. I want to know what that means. The reason I say that is because we have some friends that work at Tucson Medical Center. Okay. So the question is, what we learned is that if you go to TMC and you go because you think you need to get a test, you might have COVID. Well, they're saying that they're checking you in, they take the test, and they're slow rolling. They're taking 2 days to get you your results back, where most of you might not have COVID. So are those hospital visits counting? So they must, right? So, and I asked this of someone in the governor's office last week. Could you please confirm, directly ask this person, can you please confirm at TMC, because Judy Rich hates this show because we keep making fun of TMC.
Asking for money for.
Well, she's always one giving Huckleberry money to shove extra taxes down your throat. And of course, I say don't. So it's not like TMC is going to return D. Simone's phone call anytime soon. So I asked this person at the governor's office, please find out for me, can you go to TMC and ask them? Because Judy was mentioned, though. Oh, what a great partner down in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just tell me, if someone all I want to know is the protocol. If you go to TMC and you say, oh, I might have COVID. Well, let's do a test, Mr. Alexander, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they keeping you for 2 days? Because that's what we're hearing from someone who works there.
So now you're COVID hospitalized waiting for a test result is what you are.
Right.
I don't know. Mm.
So what percentage of tests are coming back positive? It's somewhere in the single digits. So what we're saying is, are we actually doing hospitalizations for people that are getting a test that 90% of them at least aren't going to have COVID? And that counts as a hospitalization. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go to Liz on line two. Liz, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. Here's my question. When you see the numbers on the news channels, you know, and they show this bloviated number of how many people that have COVID-19. I'm curious, and they say kind of under their breath, in these numbers included are the people that have recovered. My question is, why don't they take out how many people have recovered from this instead of lumping everybody all in together and making this huge number? Because I would estimate that most people in some way have probably had this in some shape or form and never knew they had it and never knew, you know, didn't go and get tested. So where are the people that have recovered, and why don't we hear about that?
You know what you get today, Liz? You get the old ding sound. It's true, right? So the number that we should be looking at is what is the net amount of cases, right? So take who's currently positively tested, right, and subtract the ones that have recovered and who are healthy again. What is that number? Because that number is a massive number to figure out, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because that number could be, the state's at 70,000, let's call it 70,000 or 68,000 mm-hmm. confirmed cases, right? Which mm-hmm. is still mm-hmm. a little less than 1% of the entire state has COVID.
Right.
Or, excuse me, I'm falling into the trap, Liz. Has or had COVID? Right? Has or had COVID? I almost sounded like one of these media morons, okay? I'm a different kind of media moron. So what I'm saying, though, is, right, so let's say, let's be really cool here. I'm going to be generous, even though we know it's more. Let's say 80% of people, right, have recovered. I think that's even a low number, right? But so mm-hmm. if we do, let's say it's 68,000, I know the number, whatever the hell it is, times 0.2, right, is 13,600. That would mean that 13 of that number of that 68,000, 13,000 is the amount of people who might still have COVID right now in the state of Arizona. Okay, so that means our real number is not 68,000 people have COVID. It's 13,000 people have COVID.
See, that's what I'm talking about. It's just a number that they're trying to get to scare people, and you know, the closing of the gyms and the closing of the bars. And like I said, I would probably wager that most people in Arizona or in Tucson have probably had it in some shape or form, didn't know they had it, they've recovered, and have moved on. But they're focusing on these numbers that, you know, like the hospitals holding people. They don't say this, but I've heard that, you know, the hospitals are holding people for 2 days once you have a test and, you know, waiting for your results. And so all of these numbers are false. And when is the truth of this going to come out? You know, it's aggravating to me, this closing and opening and, oh gosh, and panic, and I'm tired of it.
So
actually,
even if I took all of their numbers let's say really in the end, right, that 68,000 people have COVID right now, which we know is untrue, okay,
mm-hmm.
we know
mm-hmm.
that's untrue, and we know the amount of deaths per the population of Arizona is a statistically very small number. It's still less than, way less than 1%. There's a lot of .00s in there, okay?
Right,
if
exactly.
If I told you, Liz, on St. Patrick's Day when this crap hit the fan, that by the time we got the 4th of July, less than 1% of the population of Arizona would have been tested for COVID over that time, right? And the amount of people death was still .000 whatever. Wouldn't we say, wow, that's a great outcome?
Yes.
Right.
I just don't understand. There's no positives in this at all. It's all negative and it's all fear-based and it's ridiculous. There has to be, like you said, there has to be positives in this, and yet the media is not focusing on that at all. For some reason, they want these numbers, and I don't know if it's because, you know, they want the orange man out of office, if that helps them, but whatever, they want these numbers and they want everybody to be afraid. It's like, stop it, give some real numbers. And I'm really disappointed in the governor because he's fallen into that trap as well.
Liz, thanks for the good call, and call again, please.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. 6:45 in the morning. Let's go down to Steve McEwen, who's down in Santa Cruz County. Steve, what's shaking, bro?
Well, I'm not going to get into reiterating all the beautiful thoughts that have been posted out here by your show already, but I would like to talk to you about what's going on here in Santa Cruz County.
Please.
I am also disappointed with what the governor given the authority to the Board of Supervisors and the mayors. These people down here jumped on this really hard. And the health director, the mandatory wearing masks in Santa Cruz County, the lowest populated county, well, second lowest populated county in the state. And I'd like to bring up a couple things. One of the questions I had, and I think you touched on it, but I was on the phone with your cohort there. Why are they not testing people to find out if they have had it and find out what the percentages are so that we could have some real statistics? I think that's the biggest point you're making here.
Right. I mean, so we know that the incubation thing on this, that it, usually this is, if you're going to have it and you have symptoms, it's 14 days, right?
Right.
So literally, I guess I can go do it. I can go through the state of Arizona's dashboard, right, and go through all of these numbers and then subtract them out is what I'm going to have to do, which hurts my – this is like the world – you know how kids hate to do word problems, Steve, when they're doing math?
Yes.
This is like the word problem from hell. But when you look at it, right, and there's no cumulative numbers, so it's all individual days, right? But if I take the first, you know, God, through May, whatever, here, you know, the numbers are – you know, 374, 909, all these different numbers, add them up and then take them off because they have, most of those people have to be out of the COVID danger.
Right.
The amount
right.
of people who have COVID in Arizona might be 10 to 15,000 people, not 70,000. That 70,000 number is horse crap.
Yeah. And, you know, just to reiterate that, down here, Jeff Terrell, our health official, didn't have a high enough death rate down here in Santa Cruz. It was 7, and then it went up to 12 somehow. He went to Pima County, and you brought this up earlier, to find out if people from Santa Cruz County had gone up to Tucson to go in the hospitals there. And they had. So he came back. Oh, our death toll is now 25. It spiked. We don't know when those deaths happened, who they were, what age they were. And now that they've opened up the clinics down here, all the people that usually go to the clinic are going in and getting tested for COVID. Oh, we've had a spike in cases. No, you just started testing people. And again, I'll go back to my original point. Why aren't you testing people to see if they have had it so that we know how many people are safe? None of this makes sense. And I'm glad you're talking about this. I wish more people did.
Steve, thanks for the call. Say hi to your wife. We'll talk to you soon. 6:48 in the morning, Christy, Simone, Ed Alexander. You are on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30, The Voice. I got this math problem I'm literally going to have to write this out. I'm going to have to go literally. I'll
get you a board.
I have to go through every COVID amount of COVID cases test positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I will go through, I'll go through June 1. Right, just through June 1, because we know there's lag of data, right? But if I take all of those out of the total test positive numbers that they keep throwing out there, it's a different story.
Mm-hmm. That's how you do that.
You can't tell me someone who got COVID-19 at May 27th is still sick now. They're not. That's the way this works.
Right.
No one's changed that diagnosis, right? Or that symptom of this thing. And that's why this is a false narrative sold by the media on that total number and the governor. The governor's falling for this crap, which really sucks. Because he should know better. But I know he's paranoid because the thing is that no one's giving him cover either. Okay? Trump is not even giving him cover. And he basically out there. But so Doug's out there by himself, I think he feels like, and he has to deliver a presidential election in McSally's seat. And McSally's making it probably tougher than it should be. So, just because she's not a great candidate. 6:49 in the morning, Christy Simone, Ed Alexander. Wake up, Tucson. Ugh.
But I feel like they're just weaving stories, baby.
6:53 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Because of the governor's new edict, Charles Heller had to cancel the Magnificent Seven at the Marriott on Saturday.
No,
so for the first time
show
in years, no 4th of July movie. So that sucks. So we'll do it again. Just like whenever we're able to do the 11th anniversary party, we're doing it. So don't you worry. I already got the place picked out and everything. So we're ready to go when the silliness ends. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Kath McCauley, pocket sketcher extraordinaire. Kath, good morning.
Hello. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, lady.
Before I became a pocket sketcher, I was in medical research. I have a couple of questions. What is the concomitant load of illnesses the deaf people have? How many of them were healthy before they got COVID? And how many of them were fairly well doomed anyway? That's one, because we don't get that. And then the other one is, if we test positive, doesn't that mean we have antibodies? If we have antibodies, are we immune? That's a biggie. Nobody's ever said anything about it. I have antibodies to tuberculosis because I either had valley fever or mono. I don't remember which, but they give you a permanent immunity to the other one, and you always have antibodies, and you always test positive. How many people who test positive have antibodies, and they are safe?
Now, it's funny you say this because Dr. Chris yesterday in the press conference, Kath, actually said, if you were sick with this and have recovered, please reach out to us because we want your antibodies. That was mentioned yesterday in the press conference.
Yeah, and if you have the antibodies, I mean, as these cases go up on the count, how many of these people who test positive simply have antibodies because they had a low-level case and fought it and won?
Right, and we found out from our doctor from Washington University in St. Louis that, you know, when you look at the Theodore Roosevelt aircraft carrier and the Diamond Princess cruise ship, they were doing no social distancing on either of those places, that 75 to 80% of the people didn't contract it at all because there's some sort of natural immunity that those people had to the coronavirus.
But the news media get their ratings out of scaring everybody.
I've never heard that before. So, Kath, thanks for the great call.
You betcha.
Say hi to Dale for me.
I will.
6:56 in the morning. She is totally right about the, she said the come, very fancy word there. But so it's the idea of what percentage of people who died from this were healthy when they got it. And the other part was, and then, of course, which one had those comorbidities anyway that were going to end their life eventually sooner than later. So Dan Shearer said that, one of his quotes from one of his senior care facilities in Green Valley. And if you look at that article I shared yesterday with you, Green Valley is not really blowing up with us. This is why I'm saying the amount of people coming from other parts. So here's a highly susceptible population in Green Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not seeing much action on the COVID line. So what are we missing here?
Yeah, you don't hear much from them at all, do you?
Listener Martin hit me, and he said, I know of two cases of people who went to Mexico, brought it back, and then infected others in their family. So again, this is for any of you people that's saying Chris is just blaming him. I'm not here to just. There's many factors to this. All I want are all the factors to be actually given to you as, because what's happening is that we're making health policy decisions and we're not telling, I don't think we're telling the Arizona and American public the entire story. We're going to continue on this with a little bit. We're going to get into this Tucson police thing. I'm actually going to quote something from the Steve Kozacik newsletter that kind of supports a lot of the stuff that I was saying yesterday. I was in shock. Someone, one of my cops sent me this and said, "Holy crap, did you check this out?" So we're going to, I can't believe I'm going to quote a Steve Kozacik newsletter and not be making fun of it. And I also know a little bit more about the 911 call and how that went. Holidays today is, who cares about social media day? Stupid. National Meteor and Asteroid Day.
Yay!
And for you Japanese cartoon folks, International Sailor Moon Day. So Ed's been looking forward to that. So Ed, I'm going to bring you some Yngwie Malmsteen tunes, Swedish heavy rocker guitarist virtuoso. It's his birthday today.
They'll be going crazy over that.
And then I'm
going
to give you a few return for forevers with our friend Stanley Clark. Get ready.
Get ready, world. Not me, them. They got to listen to it. Yeah, okay.